So what creates wealth? What creates food? Why do we have enough to eat? Where does it come from? Everything you and I have, in an economic sense, comes from natural resources. It comes from the earth, or it grows on the earth. Everything you have. If I have a suit on, it happens to be wool, it comes from animals that are on the earth. If my shoes are leather, they come from animals. If I got some socks on, they may come from cotton. My underwear is, I don't know, it's from someplace. Oh, I know, it's from the laundry. The tie is silk. It comes from animals. The food I ate, if I ate potatoes, it comes from under the earth. If I had some fruit, it came from trees that grow on top of the earth. Everything you have, the steel seats you're sitting on, if they're steel, they come from iron ore in the earth. If your car has aluminum in it, it comes out of bauxite within the earth. Or it may have steel in it and from iron ore. The list goes on. You just have to go home and fuss with that. Everything you and I have, eat, use, every day, God put in the earth in the first place. It's all there. But it just lays there. Just like a field lays there until somebody plants it and cultivates it and harvests it. So it's the combining of the natural resources with human energy that give us the products we need to live with. It's a very simple formula. It's practiced everywhere in the world. And none of that explains the differences. It merely explains how it happens. We take iron ore, we dig it out of the ground, we melt it and bend it around, and we form it, and next thing we know, we got a car. Or got a piece of furniture. Or we cut down some trees and we cut them up and rearrange them and glue them and pound them together, and next thing you know, we got a house. Human energy combined with natural resources. A very simple process. It goes on all over the world. But in a free enterprise economy, that element is added that goes over here. It's the use of tools. It is the combining of human energy and the multiplication of human energy with tools. Notice it's a multiplication sign here and a simple addition sign here. When you give a person a tool, if a man is hoeing and working in a field and trying to grow food and working with a hoe, he may be able to feed himself and one or two other people. Give him a tractor and a little fertilizer and he can feed 100 other people. In the United States today, between 1 and 2% of our people live and work on farms. And they feed everybody in the United States and much of the world beside. Yes, I know, we got good land. Yeah, all the farmers, you can salute them and be thankful for them. Fertilizers, storage areas, shipping, transportation, all the tools that make that thing work. And you put together combines and harvesting machines and all the other things. Up here in northern Michigan, we used to send people in to pick cherries, and they went up in a tree and picked cherries. Today they do a little thing, they grab the trunk of the tree, they shake the dickens out of it, and all the cherries fall down, they roll in a bin and they're gone. We don't have any cherry pickers anymore, or any cotton pickers anymore in the same old way. Why? We have tools. But the difference is not that the socialists and communists didn't have tools. They have tools too. The difference is the tools that they owned were owned by the state. When the tools of production are owned by the individual people, they always produce more and they always last longer. The examples are simple. You take better care of your car than you do when you rent one. Your children take better care of their car if they have one than they do of your car. My kids were growing up, they washed their car. I said, why don't you wash mine? They said, Dad, that's not my car. I understand. I've had rental cars driving on the highway one day coming out of L.A. I said to the guy driving, he says, cut in, it's a rental car. I wouldn't do that with my car. Traffic was jammed up. The examples are endless. Public housing projects collapse and are a disaster because the people who live in them don't own them. They don't possess them. And so it is with tractors, which the farmers own. They check the oil. They make sure they're going to continue to run because it's their tractor. And so old equipment lasts longer and performs better when it's run by the owner. And so it is with our homes. When we own a house, we take better care of it than if we rent one. And that's just human stuff. Nothing special about it. But our system permits that. And after having made that speech 1,000 times and talked about it longer than that, That's the essential difference, is who owns the tools of production. It seems so simple, you wonder why the rest of the world couldn't get on. But there is one problem. It's a problem the socialist system will have a problem getting over. The other day I had some kids from Hungary, and I was visiting with them for breakfast. And they were talking about it, and we came up with the idea. They said, well, we're going to be free enterprise. I said, well, I hope so. You have one big thing to deal with. You have the factor of jealousy and envy to deal with. For all these years, you've told yourself you're all the same, and you all got comfortable in the poverty. Your big test is going to be whether you can see if some can move ahead who are willing to work harder, or whether you're just going to reach out and try and drag them down because they make you look bad. And you have spent 40 years dragging down anybody who reached and exceeded the quota. And now you're going to have to learn to applaud them instead of ridiculing them. And that's why I love this business. That's why I love you. When you see somebody who reaches crown or whatever, we all cheer their achievement. We don't ridicule their achievement. And in this business, we cheer the achievement because we know that if we pay the price, we can have it too. And that's what that system in that part of the world has got to learn. My concern, however, as we move forward, is that those new economies discovering free enterprise will forget the third element that's important to that, and that is what the title of this speech is, the compassionate capitalism. It's not enough for those countries to learn capitalism. They must learn the compassionate elements of capitalism. This country, the United States, was built on a sense of conscience, on its Judeo-Christian heritage. Most of the countries in which we work don't necessarily have that. Most of the countries don't give any benefits if you don't need credits for making a contribution, for example. Those are unique things to our economy, but those are things we have to share and build into our Amway businesses wherever we go. And that's what I believe runs this business. It is the concept of caring and compassion for the people you live with and are associated with. The other day I read a clipping from Australia, and I see Bruce is over here, and it was a newspaper story, and the newspaper story was not very kind to the Amway people. It took them to task and said they went to this meeting, and all they talked about was driving bigger cars and spending money and having jewelry. And that's all the reporter heard. But in my view, that is not what ever built the Amway business. Oh, I know you want economic reward. But what drives the Amway business is a caring attitude for those who have needs and who are hurting and who are hungry and who need your loving care. You have people in your business who need your help. And so I want to put some brackets around the old formula and just stick a little C over here, because I believe that is the glue that makes our business function. And when we learn that, and in our experience and looking back at our 32 years, I think we know that this business has been held together by dedicated people who really understood that, even though we never defined it. In the early days of this business, we focused. We did things with a sales plan. You can't prosper at the expense of the people you sponsor. There is no profit in the act of sponsoring. Thousands of companies have tried to follow us, and they all do. They grab the money as soon as they sign them up, instead of being committed to the well-being of the people that join them. Into the very roots and the grounding of the Amway plan was that precept, that the first thing you have to do is make sure the people below you win. And that's why you begin that process in the act of sponsoring. And that's why so many of your uplines spend more time worrying about your achievement than you spend worrying about your achievement. Your directs and your diamonds and those people, they stew all day and all night about how to make you successful. Because this plan is oriented to helping the lowest man climb the ladder. As long as we keep our focus on that, we'll do well. And we've got to make. When I left after the first meeting today, I walked out and some lady stopped me. She said, I can't tell you how happy I was to hear what you said today. She said, my group, all they talked about was making money, driving bigger cars. And she said, nobody ever talked to me about what you're talking about. This is what makes this thing work. This is what the heart and soul of the Amway business is all about. How come I never heard it? Well, maybe some of us never understood it. Maybe we're just catching on to why God has showered his blessings on this business. Because he became aware of the fact that in this business is not just a sales plan with nice numbers and 3% and 4% and worldwide sponsorship. But because this is a business concerned with the well-being of the people in it. And it is more than just whether we're concerned with the people who are in the business. It is more than whether we just tell people you can make a lot of money in this business without saying to them, you're going to work your buns off. And you're going to have a lot of discouragement. But if you want to pay the price and you want to have the joy of achievement, then join us. Instead of just saying, oh, you just make a lot of money and drive back and forth to the bank. That's not what drives the business. The business is driven by a compassionate and caring attitude. And that's why it's something we must carry forward as we move forward in the world. As we move out into the world, it's going to become more important than ever that we develop the compassionate attitude for everybody that we touch. That means you'll be giving. Some of you give to Easter Seals. Some of you give to gospel films. Some of you give to your churches. Some of you give to your synagogues. Some of you give to things I never knew about or thought about. Some of you give to Easter Seals in an unbelievably great way. You support various causes because you have a compassionate and caring heart. And it is my belief that that's what drives this business. And that's why some of you stay in this business even when you feel like quitting. Because you know somebody really deeply cares about your well-being and your achievement. And as long as we keep that as a priority in our business, we all are going to be winners whether we make a lot of money or whether we don't. We're going to begin to have a new attitude towards our children and our families. Many of you are in this business unselfishly. You have joined this organization so you can help your children get a better education and do better things in their life. And that's why you have a responsibility in this business to be an achiever so you can be a hero and an example for others to follow. Some of you live in communities where not many people are making it. And you can talk to them all day. But if you really want to be a wonderful hero for them, go ahead and achieve in this business and don't tell them, show them. And when you show them that you can do it, then they'll know they can do it. And I know we have a lot of international people here from Mexico to all the other markets in the world. But I can tell you something. We never did well in any foreign market because a bunch of Americans came over there and did well. We did well in those markets when the people who lived there made the plan live for them. And when it lived there, then it lived. You have the Lowe's over here from the UK, and when they began to develop a leadership role in the UK, then the English people said, if they can do it, we can do it. And they became a role model, an example for them. And the M&Ms over here did that. And I see we got Karu and Ito and Eric over here from Japan, Crown Ambassadors. All these people doing significant things. They possessed the plan and made it their own. And then the other people said, if they can do it here, we can do it here. And that's what's going to happen in all those markets around the world. And I remember in Australia, Bruce, we spent 5 years losing money in Australia until we began to develop the first directs in Australia. And when they took the lead, they set the pace. And that's why the number one measure you have to be a compassionate capitalist is to make money and achieve. Then have a loving and tender heart to help others do it. And you're going to teach people how to succeed in life, and more than just in the Amway business. The other day I had two grandchildren, Dick's little girl and Betsy's little girl and Dan and Pam's little girl, and they were both over to our house, and they were in the swimming pool. And they were having a big time. There were two rafts in there, and there's a sliding board there, and it was so fascinating when I wondered why communism failed and capitalism succeeded. And I watched these two little girls having a good time and fighting over the life rafts. And I kept hearing these words, and they echo around in that room. And they kept saying, it's mine, it's mine. And all of you laugh because you've heard all your children say it. And they fight over their bicycle. And if a cousin comes to call, they still say, it's mine. No, share your toy. No, it's mine, Mommy. And everybody thought capitalism was created someplace over there because some economists thought so. It's right built into everybody. There's something about owning it yourself. And that's why the Amway business does well, because it's yours. It's mine. And there is just something built into all of us that we treat it differently and feel great about it. And that's why you must learn that fundamental principle. And that's why you grant freedom to people to use it and possess it and make it theirs. The other thing I noticed about them, they had the little slide up there, and neither one of them wanted to go down laying on their stomach and hit the water. Well, they were both learning to sit down, but they wouldn't go face down. And then one of them says, "Okay, Grandpa, I'll do it." As soon as that happened, the other one couldn't get up there fast enough to do it. Then it was a fight to see who could do it first. And that's an instinctive thing in all of us. We don't want to be left out. We want to excel. But if there's somebody else around who's going to get ahead of us in our system, we're going to try to excel. And that's why you can see it's so fundamental to everything we stand for in the business. And then the last part of it, and then we'll close. With a little cry we heard all the time, they kept saying the following words: "Watch me! Watch me! Mommy, watch me!" Demanding attention. And if the girls, Helen and Betsy, whoever was there, were sitting talking, or Pam, you know, they kept screaming it. They were going to come down that slide face first, and they were demanding attention. Watch me. Throughout the world today, are people dying to have somebody watch them achieve? And that's what you and I have to do. We have to be the cheerleaders. And when they say, "Watch me, sponsor. Watch me, mommy. Watch me, grandpa." We got to be the number one in the cheering section of helping struggling people become achievers. It's just in there from childhood on to have somebody appreciate me and to pay attention to me. And when we begin to be the force that moves around the world, paying attention to people, cheering them on, applauding them for their achievements, everybody rises and has a higher level of achievement than the world has ever seen. And let's us go into this world and touch this world and be the number one group that says to everybody, "We're watching and we believe in you." Thank you so much for joining us.